Okay, we're in Perek Gimel, excuse me, Perek Chaf Gimel of Hilchos Ishus. So again, we're continuing, we're almost done with Hilchos Ishus and a couple of parakim to go. In this parak, the Rambam will discuss, again, various provisions and other stipulations made in, for instance, as you'll see from the first case, where the husband decides he doesn't want to take the benefits from the nechasim she brings in, along with other cases like that. So just, again, miscellaneous groups of cases. Lacha al, the Rambam says that Isha shehisneis al bayel levatel schus midvarm shezocha ben abal. So let's say the couple make a deal, okay, that he's going to give up the things that he's supposed to zocha from being a baal, like the payros, for example. He says, I agree, I'm going to give up on them. Im kasavla, okay, the oda rusa. Let's say she, what do you call it? He writes this down, okay, and this takes place after kiddushin kodem anisum, before they consummate the marriage. Okay, there's no need to actually put this into the contract. Meaning, it doesn't have to put it, go ahead and put it down in an actual contract. Rather, whatever she wrote is considered sufficient. But if he went ahead and wrote this down, this provision that he will not take the payros off her nechasim, he wrote it down after nisun. Then they actually need a shtar. They need a true contract to formalize this deal. Okay, halacha beis. Hisna ima, let's say they make a tanai, he makes a tanai with her, shelo yelo din udvarim b'nechaseya. He says that he's going to have no say whatsoever in regards to her nechasim that she brings into the marriage. Meaning he's basically giving up his rights to control them, okay? Im machra, if she goes ahead and sells them, ovinasna, or gives them to somebody else, machra kayam, so her sale is considered good, u matanasa kayamets, ava ochel perasei and kolzman shem bershusa, but until the nechasim transfer domain from hers to the other, to the purchaser, he still can benefit from those payros. So again, if the nechasim are still in his rishus, he could still benefit from the payros. Then kadom yado, okay, let's say he made a shtar, I mean an actual construct of a contract to back this up, kishi yarusa, when she's still in rusa, she'en lo din advar menechaseya, and he says, again, when she's kedushin, but nisun hasn't taken place yet, that he has basically no say whatsoever insofar as these things are concerned. Hare silik atzmo begufa karka. He actually is removed now to the karka itself. Any karka she brings in, he has no rights to. Veinlo menechaseya peres olam, and he won't benefit whatsoever from the peros. Okay, so again, the first case is post nisuin, what do you call it? The tanai is made versus when you do it pre nisuin by your erusin, he actually can give up his rights to the karka and the peros. Let's say he goes ahead and protests the fact that he did this kinyan to be this construct, this action to begin with. I didn't realize that I'm going to lose out on my benefits, right? I didn't realize this. All right. Okay. It doesn't matter because we had, at the end of the day, what do you call it? We say it's a good sale, right? He says, I never would have sold it. Because the person would never get married without nechasim. Ain shomel lo. We don't listen to his protest. So even basically the guy says, I got a raw deal here. I never intended to do this. It's too late. Once he goes ahead and makes this tanai, he loses out on the karka and the peiros. Okay, lacha gimel. Hisna ima. Let's say he makes a stipulation with her. Shelo yochal peiros nechaseya. That he won't benefit at all from the peiros of her nechasim. Hareze ain ochal peiroseya. He can't benefit from them. Aval mochrin es a peros. Now, this is what's interesting. However, what can he do? He can sell the peros, okay? Meaning, let's make it literal. There's actual oranges from the tree. I mean, that's obviously not the case, but it's oranges from the tree. He can go ahead and sell those oranges, use the proceeds, lokam han karka, then buy land, the huocha peroseva, and then he could benefit from those peros. Shalosi lakatsma elami peros echasam elu bavai. Because he's only waiving his rights to the payros of this set of nechasim, meaning let's say this land, but not from another piece of land. So just because he says that he's giving up his rights doesn't mean it's on any future nechasim. It's only this set of nechasim. Okay, halacha dalet hisna ima. Let's say he makes a tanai with her shelo yochal payros nechaseya, that he won't benefit at all from the payros of her property. Velo pire payrosan. Okay, and not only that. He won't even benefit, or he's not giving up just the benefits of the payros of her nechasim, but even the benefits from the benefits. Okay, what does that mean? Lochin a payros v'konam hem karka. So what do we do? And you'll see what that is in a second. What do we do? we take for the Paris and he buys Karka, Velokan Paris, Karkazu, the Konema Karkashia, Luoka Paris, Elu, Shane Pere, Pere, Paris. So basically the thing is that he can play what we saw in Halacha Gimel, he can keep doing. He can keep saying, I don't want to receive the benefits from this, buys Karka. They could say about a secondary way, a tertiary way. You can keep saying, I'm not going to benefit from these Paris. Okay. And then you can always buy the next set of land to benefit from them. Mechena davar tamid, right? This goes on forever. Ad she yisna ima, until he makes the following stipulation. She lo yulo lo peros, the lo pere perosayin ad lo'ola. So if he makes a stipulation to say, I'm not going to have the peros or the proceeds of the proceeds forever. Okay. That's it. He's out. Vakrach lo hayulo peros bechaya, avimesa yurashakal. He's officially giving up rights in all the peros, meaning simply put, he puts us in a stipulation that not just this set of peros, not the peros of the next purchase, but all peros. He never gets any peros, but if she dies, he would still inherit. Okay, so that's the way he's actually able to give up the entirety of peros from the chasim. Okay, halacha hey. Now hisda ima shelo yurashena. I'm shifting a bit. Now let's say the cases where he makes a tanai with her that he will not inherit her assets, okay, or property. Areza lo yurashena, okay? Then he won't receive, he won't inherit it. Ava ochla peres bechayav, he still gets the benefits from the land while she's alive. Vechein in hesna ima shiyarash mixas nechaseya. Let's say he makes a stipulation where he's only going to inherit a part of her nechasim. Vechein in hesna ima shim mesa belobanim yachashu nechasim beisaviya. Or if he makes a stipulation with her that if she dies and they have no children, okay, that all of her property will go back to her father, that would also be valid as well. Okay, halacha vav. So when does the above work? All this implies, or the situation is one where tanai was made prior to the consummation of the marriage. Right, because any land that comes to a person that's not from his family, there's a tanai built in. Okay, that what we say is that he's not going to go inherit this until it's appropriate for him to be able to inherit. But if he goes ahead and makes a tanai on this after they get married, to no bato, then the tanai doesn't work. He still inherits. So if it's after Nisuan, basically, as much as he can try to get out of, so to speak, being an inheritor, it won't work. Okay. Halacha Zayin. Okay. Hisna ima achar Nisuan. And he makes a tanai with her after they get married. Shelo yelo din advar min chaseya, that he won't benefit at all from her property. Lo be pire perusayin. Or from the fruits of the fruits, the proceeds of the fruits of the proceeds, adolam bechaya ubemosa, both when she's alive and after she's dead. Areza in ochel peros klal, he won't benefit at all from the peros. About imesa yurshena kamoshvano, but if she dies, he still would inherit. Even though he's saying, I don't want any part of her property, both when she's alive and after she's dead, that's still not enough to remove his status as being an inheritor. Okay, halacha ches, shifting a bit again. Habal shehotzi hotzas on nichsei malog. Okay. Okay. So let's say she brings into the marriage certain property, and the husband goes ahead and spends money. Okay, to basically elevate the value to improve this property. He invests in it. Okay, he wants to make it better. Bein shehotzi mat v'achol peres harbe. Bein shehotzi harbe v'achol peres mat. Whether he put in a little bit of money and got huge amounts of benefits as a result, or vice versa. Afilu achol grogres achas der kavod. No matter how significant or insignificant the amount is, even if he just took the smallest amount of produce, okay? That's the key. At the end of the day, whatever he spent, he spent, and whatever he enjoys, he enjoys. So the basic point is that no matter how much he puts in, he can put in $5 and get $1 million in payros, or he could do vice versa. No matter, he's always entitled to it. Okay. Halacha test, v'chein, im nafulak safim b'makam rachok. Okay. Let's say she goes ahead and comes across this incredible inheritance from a long lost relative, of like a lot of money. Okay. And let's say it's in overseas. V'hotzi alein hotzaos. And he has to spend money to get these nechasim over here. Ad shevian, o ad shehotziya miyad, misha hayu etzlo. V'lacha van karka, v'lacha peroseya kashir, masha hotzi, masha achalacha. So what do you call it? If he goes ahead and takes the money that he used to go ahead from these ksafim and buy land with it, okay, we consider this to be a similar situation where it's part of his investment, meaning any money he spent to get this money over to go ahead and buy the lamb, that's considered money that he's invested, so to speak, in the nechassim, and he's masha hotzi hotzi masha achal achal. Now hotzi v'lo achal osha achal pachas mikashir. Now let's say the husband spent money but got no payros as a result, okay? Or he benefited, the payros he got are less than the amount that he invested, okay? Shaman kamash hishbiach, okay? We measure out how much he actually spent, how much the value of the property went up. Vishon also kamahotzi, and then we ask him how much he spent on making these improvements. Ima shebach yetzar lo tzos, if the improvement is more than what he put into it, yishavim nikitas chefet, he makes a shua, kama hotzi, how much he spent, but notel haotza, we take out that amount from its value. Vim haotza yiser al shebach, but if what he put in is more than the increase in value, ein lo min haotza al kashir shebach uvishua, then he only gets, the amount that he spent, the expenses that he put in, okay, and it's justified by the amount of shebach, and of course he has to go ahead and make a shua. Hold on 1 second. Okay, sorry about that. Halakha yud. Bamed var mamurim. Okay, so when is halakha test apply? Bimigarish, okay, when he ends up divorcing her. Let's say you have a case of amaredes. Remember, that's a case where she decides that she basically withholds sexual relations from her husband. Even if he ended up benefiting a lot from her nechassim, shamilo, right? Kama achal, we measure out how much he benefited. And we subtract that from what's due to him for the amount that he invested in the property. After he makes a shvua, and then he can take it. Why? Because basically, he did not go ahead and want to spend this money so that she can go ahead and just take this on her own after she leaves, meaning his investment was on Tanai, so to speak, that they'll stay together. Similarly, let's say he spends money on property of his wife, who's a katana, when she's underage, umiyana, and she does miyun, okay? Roan kama acha, we see how much he benefited, the kama hotzi, how much he spent, the kama yishbiak, and how much the property went up in value, v'shamalo k'aris shari b'shus yirik. Again, this is, we're not getting into what an aris is yet, but basically, the little translation of aris is a sharecropper. And what it basically means is that we need to come up with some type of amount that would be fair. We don't just say it's the value of like a barren land. We use the aris, commodity amount to determine this, right? Because he always had permission to go ahead and work the property to maintain its value. And again, we'll hit aris up later on when we get into the more financial areas. Alachi et Aleph. Okay, switching gears again. Minhagos Rabbo Sheish Minadunya. Okay, so there are a lot of different minhagos that exist when it comes to the Nadunya, the value of the Nadunya, the amount that she's going to bring in to the marriage. Okay, Yeshva Kamosh Nagush Yichtevu B'Ksuva Nadunya B'Yesra Adamei B'Shlisha B'Chamisha B'Mechza. Very interesting. So in some places, the minhag was, because remember, Ksuva is the Rabbana. Okay, the minhag was to include the Nadunya. Okay, to put in there more. Okay, than she actually is bringing in. Okay, more than she's actually bringing in. So let's, as you'll see in a second, okay? Kagon, Shetia Nedunyasa Mea, let's say the actual amount she's bringing in is 100. But what would they write? The Kosvim, they'd write in the Shtar, in the Ksuba, Shechnitzalo Mea Vechamishin. They would say, no, she's bringing in 100, she put in the Shtar, she's bringing in 150. Kedela Harbos of Ne'am, okay, to make it appear more basically generous in front of people. Ugushetovo Legavos, Lo Tigbat Levamea. But that's the key. Just because the Ksuba says 150, okay, if the minug in where you live is 150 really means wink, wink, 100, she's only able to collect 100 off of it, okay? And it works the other way too. V'yesh mekamos, shenagu lichto v'pachos. There are places where, I'm not sure what you'll see, doesn't really say why, but where they write less the amount, okay? Then pasko l'habi lo v'meya kelem, nosenesh shav v'meya v'esrim, v'meya v'chamishim, v'kosim shech niso lo meya. But what do they write? They say that she'll bring in, let's say, 100 zuz of, let's say, Caleb, okay? That's what it says, right? Now, she has to bring in the amount that's worth, let's say, 120, 150. Yet in the Ksuba, all it's written is that she brought in 100. Okay, so again, the point is that you could have the Ksuba say more than she's bringing in, or you could have the Ksuba say less than she's bringing in, depending on the minhag. And of course, which is a lot easier, there are places that write it out shava b'shava, meaning 100 is 100. V'yesh mekomos, she yitain ha'ish mos, okay, there are some places where the man will go ahead and give money. Lefina dunya davar katzav shediskashe bo akala mitakanavo b'shamayim mechiyotze behem. Excuse me, b'sabim mechiyotze behem. There's some situations where the husband will give a certain amount of money that's equal to the amount of the nadunya, okay, for her to go ahead and go and buy besamim and clothing and make herself look nice. And there are also places where the man actually adds more money to the nadunya, okay, to make her look more beautiful to him. So again, you see that when it comes to nadunya, you have all sorts of different menhagim of what they would do. Okay, Allah Yudbeis. Now, Hanose Stam, okay, but let's say a guy marries a woman without any conditions at all. Kose Vinosim Kim Minag Medina. So he writes down and gives to her based on whatever the local minag is. Vechein Hisha Paska Lahachnis, okay. Oh, so too, if she makes some type of commitment to bring in specific things into what it called the marriage, let's say whatever, certain kalim. Kiminaga Medina, whatever the normal custom is. So let's say you live in a town where the minaga is she'll bring in three pots. Ukisha tabo the gabas ksubasa, the gabama mashab ksubasa, kiminaga Medina. And when she comes to collect on her ksuba, she collects on the ksuba like the minaga Medina. Ubuchal dwarma ilu with all these types of things. Uchiyotzimahen, minaga Medina ikr gabahu. Okay, the alpiv done. Right? The minaga Medina is the fundamental principle we follow, and that's how we paskin. As long as it's the most common accepted minag in the area. Okay. And that's an important idea when it comes to this stuff, that a lot of it went by custom. Again, there's no specific halacha how it had to be. Rather, it takes into account what people's normal nihug would be. Halacha and gimel. Okay. Ish v'isha shehayu b'neim shiduchin. Okay. So let's say a man and a woman are engaged to each other, meaning they're committing to getting married. He says to her, "Kama at mechnesesli kach v'kach." V'amar lo, "V'kama ata nosenli okosenli kach v'kach." So let's say they said this. He asks her, "How much are you bringing into our marriage?" Okay, and she says to him, "X." Okay, so again, he wants to know how much, and she responds, "X." So too, v'chena av shepasuk ayde beno bito kama ata nosenli bincha. So too, a father who makes a commitment, okay, on behalf of his son or daughter, right? How much he's going to give, right, to his son? The kama ata nosen the vitcha kafaka, the amdu v'kitcho, okay, and then they go ahead and get married. Kanu osan hadvarim nafi shloya benen kinyan miyada veilehin hadvarim and nikdin damira. This is very important, okay. So basically, even though again these are all cases where there was a specific amount, even though there was nothing written down, it was simply me saying to her, "How much do you plan on bringing in?" She says in return, "I plan on bringing in this much," or he says, "I'd like you to bring in X number," and she responds, "I'll bring in X number." That is considered a good, almost to speak, agreement. Okay, literally, kinyan b'amira means a kinyan done simply through speech, through talking. So this would be a valid kinyan. So lachi yadala damed dvar amurim bishop pasak al debito ben gadola ben katana. Okay, so this only applies when, let's say, for example, a father makes this type of oral commitment on behalf of his daughter, whether or not she's older or younger, or upasuk av acher livno, okay? So too, he makes this type of, commitment on behalf of his son, uvenisun rishonim, and this is their first marriage, shedaitel sha'adam krova etzel bino, umirov simchaso benisun harishonim. The reason why we accept this oral commitment from the father is because he's very happy. He's very happy when it comes to the first wedding of his son or daughter, okay? So therefore, gamar umatnamo bamira. Therefore, we say the kinyan amira works. The oral agreement works. Aval ach shapasak lacho. So, but let's say a brother comes along and says, "I want to give X to on behalf of my sister who's getting married." O isha shapaska labita, or a mother basically who does this for her daughter, the chen shakro and other relatives, or oh haav shapasak with no labita misun shniim, or if he tries to make this oral commitment to his son or daughter for their second wedding, lo kanu osan advarim, right? This doesn't work at all. So you need some type of contract written down to say this is the amount. So the difference is that, to make it simple, for a first wedding, when the father goes ahead and makes this oral commitment, so then we say that works. We don't need to write anything down. But if it's a second wedding, or if it's other types of krovim, then an oral commitment is insufficient, and you would need some type of contract to back it up, to substantiate it. Okay, halacha. Now the rest of the halachas are going to continue down this road. Halacha tesvav ha'av shepasak aide bito. Okay, so if a father goes ahead and makes this type of financial commitment on behalf of his daughter, okay, lo kanes habas osa hamatana ad she yichnas osa bayit. Okay, so she is not able to acquire that which the father promised her until nisuin. Okay, v'chein aben lo kanas yichnas. So too by her son, by the son. So if the father does make this matana, right, it had the time when the son or daughter can collect it is after the marriage. Shekola posek ain't a posek el manas lichnos, because he only made this commitment on condition that she go ahead and be married, or he be married. Lefikach a posek mos lichosno. Therefore, let's say a man makes a monetary a promise to his son-in-law who makes kodem shiichnos, and he dies. The son-in-law dies before he marries the guy's daughter. Okay, and now as a result, now the woman, right, again, in this situation, she must now do yibum. Yocholav lomar, the father can say, liyabem la'achicha yisi rotsa liten, v'lacha eina rotsi liten. Okay, what he basically can say is that I desire to give this to your brother, but not to this guy, right, not to him. Even if the first was a buffoon, so to speak, and the second was a Talmud Chacham, the Apisha boss wrote Saban, even if she desires to marry the second person. The point is that the Avs can pull back that financial commitment in this type of situation. Okay. Lechet Zayin, Haposik Moz Lechasno. Let's say a father makes this type of financial promise to his son-in-law. The Halach Av, the Medina Acheres. And the father goes and travels overseas. Yecholahi Lomar, Labal, she can say to her future husband, Ani lo pasakti al atmi, ma ani yechol lasos. Okay. O kanas lonadunya, o patreni beget. Excuse me. So she says as follows. She says to her future husband, I didn't make this commitment. This is my father did this. Okay. So what am I supposed to do? Either let's get married, right, without an adunya at all, or basically free me with a get. Okay. Aval im paska hi al atma. Okay. But let's say she went ahead and made the commitment, so to speak, on herself, okay, velohi gia yada, right, and she's not able to come up with the funds. Harizu yushevet hashatim samasha paska or shatamas. Then she's stuck. She remains in this kind of purgatory until she's able to go ahead and get the money together that she promised to bring in, or until she dies. Velama lo tiftor atzma mardus, right? So you know how she could get out of this? She could become a meredes. She can. It's an evil tactic, but she can become a meredes to get herself out of this obligation. Shamaretis kashi arusa habal rotsa lakatsa viena rotsa aval abrayamania rotsa. Excuse me. Because there's a difference. When it comes to redes, okay, who only went through kiddushim, okay, the husband will still want to go ahead and pursue the nisuin. Okay. She's the one who doesn't want to do it. Okay. Whereas viena rotsa aval zu, but in this case, ain't aval rotsa ba, I should teach an adunya shapaska. But here, he doesn't want to go ahead and have nisuin until she comes through with the adunya she promised to bring in. He wrote Sabo, right? But she wants it. Shari Hio Marislo, Okana Sapata. She's saying she wants to either marry him or to be free from the marriage. So the Medvar Amorim, Bigadola, this only applies to a woman who's of the right age. Amal Katana, Shepaskal Atzma. But let's say a Katana makes a financial commitment on herself to bring into the marriage. Kofin Osolitin get, we force him, and she can't come up with the funds. We force him to go ahead and divorce her. Or Yichnas Lonadunya. Or we say they go ahead and have Nisun without the actual. The dunya. Okay, two more halachas. Halach Yitzayin. Hanoses Aisha upaska imo. She has zanas bita kach v'kach shana. Okay, let's say a man marries a woman and he promises that he's going to go ahead and support her daughter, okay, for X number of years. Chayev lizon osam shanam shakiba latzmo. So obviously he's obligated to support her for the years he promised he would. V'hu she knew al davar zeh b'shas kiddushin. As long as he made this commitment at the time of kiddushin. But let's say he did make it. If he made the commitment after kiddushin, okay, then none of this commitment won't work until there's an actual formalization of the kinyan. Now, nisgarsha b'tocha shanim. Let's say they get divorced in the period of time that he promised he would support the daughter. Shekiba l'atzmo lozen esbita. Okay, v'nasos la'acher. Okay, and she goes ahead and gets married to another guy, upaska imo, and she says to him, in other words, the next financial commitment done is, she has done osabas, that's husband number two, would support the daughter, kafakach shanim, Lo Yomar Rishon, the first guy who again promised to support the daughter for X number of years, can't say Im Tavo Levesi Ezona Elamola. Right, he can't say, listen, if you come to my house, if she comes to my house, I'll support her. Elamolech Mizonos Elamakum Sheisham Ima. Rather, he must send over the Mizono since he promised to. Wherever she's living with her mother. V'chein lo yomru sheyem, and also both husbands can say to each other, or one ex, one present, hari anu zanen oso ka'achas. They can't say that we're going to both provide mizonos to the daughter. Ela echad zana ve'echad nosan latame mizonos. Rather, one actually provides the physical sustenance, whereas the other one just has to provide the money to go ahead and purchase the mizonos. But they shouldn't join forces, so to speak, to provide the mizonos together. And finally, Lachin Yilchas, Nisei Sabach B'tokzman Zeh Abal Chayav Mizonoseya. Now, if the daughter marries during the period of time when the Baal had promised, that the mother's husband had promised to support the daughter, okay, the husband is now obligated to enter Mizonos. Ubaile Ima, okay, Shneim Kol Echad Echad Nosan La Dmei Mizonos, okay, and the husbands of the mother are both going ahead, are obligated to provide from the Dmei Mizonos. Mesu Elu Shepasku Lazanosa. Now, excuse me. Let's say the case was that they both died, when making the commitment to provide for her. Im Kanam Yadon, if they made a formalized it, O Shechai Vatsa Bashtar, or they actually have a contract, okay? Harezu Kibal Ho. This becomes a debt, okay? Ubishtar, Vitorefis Mizonosea, Menechsanim Shubadim Atsubisman Shepasku. And if they die, then this becomes an outstanding debt, and they can go ahead and collect all the stuff, all the money owed to the daughter from the property, even if it's sold off, until the period of time when he promised he'd support her. Vim pasku bishas a kedushin. Let's say the commitment was made at the time of kedushin. V'lo hoya sham kinyan, right? But there was never an actual formalized kinyan. Hariyam dvarim shlo nidu liftov v'eino terefes v'nosea. Then what we say is that it was never, the daughter doesn't actually have the right to go ahead and take the property from the Mizonos because it wasn't actually written down in a shtar. Okay, we'll stop here and have a good Shabbos. We'll pick up.